Chapter 3. Len watched several expressions flit across his mother's face in the low light of the private hospital room.
Len?
She asked after a painful pause, because apparently they were going to do this in the most cliched manner imaginable.
Yeah,
he told her.
I heard you were trying to find me.
Her hand flew to her mouth, covering it. The nurse looked between them warily. Everything all right here, folks? His mother looked completely lost for a moment, but then she nodded, her hand still clapped across the lower half of her face. I think we're okay, Len told him. And if we're not, I'll leave. I'm not here to cause trouble. Right, said the nurse, with the air of someone who was far too busy to babysit other people's family drama. Well, I'll leave you to it. The doctor should be by in a couple of hours to discuss the latest test results with you, Mrs. Grayson. She pulled her hand away, as though she'd just noticed it was still there.
Thank you. Yes, we're fine here.
Her voice was a hoarse whisper. The nurse gave them a final, wary glance and headed out. Len slipped fully inside the room to let him close the door.
So,
Len said, when the silence showed no signs of breaking.
A friend of mine said you were trying to reach me. Here I am.
Her sun-drenched complexion had gone pale as milk.
Mijo, I've missed you. Is your father, he's...
She reached out a hand toward him. He stepped back without thinking, despite the fact that several feet already separated them. Her hand dropped back to her side.
What's wrong with him?
Len made himself look at the figure in the hospital bed. And maybe he shouldn't have felt so hurt by his mother's lack of recognition when he'd arrived, because Len barely recognized his father's sunken features.
They're calling it restrictive cardiomyopathy,
his mother said softly. He glanced up to find her hugging herself, both arms wrapped around her ribcage, as though to hold something inside that wanted to escape.
They want to implant some kind of machine to help pump the blood, but he's too weak right now.
Len ran his eyes over the readings on the heart monitor mounted behind the bed, taking the information on board.
I see. Where have you been all this time?
The question was almost a whisper. He didn't turn to look at her. Living my life, trying to pick up the pieces and move forward. Same as you, I imagine. He kept his tone even with difficulty. A quiet groan came from the bed. Len sucked in a breath as his father blinked open bleary eyes, looking around the room in confusion. His mother crossed hurriedly to the bedside.
Charles? Oh, Charles, you're awake! Len is here! Our Len, he heard you were sick and he came!
Len took slow, even breaths as bloodshot gray eyes, the same shade as his own, landed on him, and sharpened gradually into focus.
Len?
His father asked.
You're really here? What's wrong with your hair?
Hi, Dad,
Len said, past the burn in his throat.
Yes, I'm really here. And it's hair dye. I've got a bunch of piercings and tattoos, too, since I figured you'd hate all of that with a burning passion.
You came.
There was something like wonder in his father's tone.
Son, I have to tell you, I'm so sorry. I was wrong.
A terrible, shaky feeling snaked its way through Len's guts, spreading up and down his spine, before spilling into his arms and legs.
I'm sorry, too,
he said distantly.
And yes, you were wrong.
His father only nodded.
I just needed you to know. I'm glad you came.
The words trailed into a mumble, and his eyes closed, features growing slack with sleep once more. Len stood frozen, staring down at him. His mother held his father's hand between both of hers, chafing her thumb gently over his knuckles. After a long moment, she set it back on the bed, being careful of the IV line. Len watched her, entirely unsure what he was supposed to be feeling right now. The silence grew painful, until eventually he couldn't stand it anymore. "So," he said stupidly, with no clue what other words were going to follow that one. His mother's chest rose and fell on a long, deep breath, as though she were girding herself. It struck Len that he would rather be standing in the middle of any one of the many terrifying magical battles he'd been in over the past couple of years than here, waiting for someone to say something. Lucia Grayson made her way back to her chair in the corner and sank down in it. Her green-flecked brown eyes rose to his face, taking in the metal piercings, the aggressive faux hawk.
"I wanted to find you long before now, you know," she said.
There were awful words struggling to climb up Len's throat and escape. Words that had no place in a hospital room with heart and blood pressure monitors measuring out the remainder of a fragile life, beep by beep. "No," he managed in a more or less level voice. "I obviously didn't know that, since there are services that track people down on the internet, and it's not like I changed my name or made any attempt whatsoever to hide from you. I have a LinkedIn account, for God's sake." His mother looked pained.
"It wasn't that simple, Mio."
Len stared at her.
"Wasn't it? Because from where I'm standing, it was exactly that simple."
She shook her head.
"You have to understand."
An alarm started pinging on one of the monitors, cutting across her words. They both turned to look at it. Len watched in horrified disbelief as the steady pulse of the green line on the electrocardiogram wavered and collapsed. Several realizations hit him at once, including one that sent his own heart thundering. "Oh no," he said. "Oh no, Mom. I have to get out of here. Right now. We'll talk later, okay?" His mother looked frantically between Len and the bed.
"But your father, he's..."
The heart monitor flatlined into an ominous, steady tone. Len turned to flee as sudden panic suffused him. He almost ran headfirst into the crash cart team barreling through the door. The same large nurse who'd been in the room when he'd arrived a few minutes ago took him by the shoulders and pushed him out of the way. He stumbled and righted himself, trying to find a path past the bulky machinery blocking the room's only exit.
"Help him, please,"
his mother was begging, wringing her hands together as she stood just far enough out of the way for the team to reach the bed. Len lunged for the doorway as soon as there was enough space and had to catch himself on the frame as a familiar, freezing chill wrapped around his body and sank through his skin. His hearing went dull and distant as the doctor barked orders for standard defibrillation procedures, his lungs laboring against the sharp frostiness of fresh death animus. Len let out a broken moan of denial and staggered away from the support of the wall, the hallway telescoping dizzily out in front of him as he tried to remember how to get back to the elevators. Cursing himself for 10 kinds of idiot, he stumbled in what he sincerely hoped was the right direction, ignoring the handful of people he passed, who looked at him in clear concern. Somehow he managed to get back to the main level without being scooped up by orderlies or security personnel. He burst out of the front doors and turned, following the outer walls of the building until the familiar red emergency room entrance sign loomed in his tunneling vision. Sure enough, a pair of battered picnic tables still sat under a scraggly tree in the sad patch of grass on the far side of the road. The figure that had been seated there rose hastily and met him halfway. Albigard's hands cupped his elbows, steadying him.
"What happened?" he asked.
Before Len could formulate words, though, the Fae's nostrils flared, sniffing the air. And he said,
"Oh. Oh, dear. This was not part of the plan."
Len clutched at his arms.
"I didn't think. Oh, God. He wasn't supposed to. Not while I was still there."
Albegard chivied him toward the picnic tables. Sit down for a moment. But Len balked. I don't want to sit down. He could hear his own breathing, frantic and wheezing around the words. The deep chill of his father's death suffused his bones, his muscles. Rather than argue, Albegard looked around with a quick sweep of green eyes and hauled Len behind the questionable shelter of the tree instead. A portal opened. Len was dragged through it, and in the next moment, he was standing in his living room in St. Louis. Hans pulled the backpack from his shoulders and set it aside. Len had forgotten he still had the thing with him. Albegard deposited him on his battered sofa, which squeaked an indignant warning beneath his weight. When he was safely settled, the Fae crouched in front of him. You must calm your breathing, he said. Do you need assistance in doing so? Len shook his head and curled forward, his fingers digging painfully into his own thighs. Dragging his composure together by main force, he made himself breathe in for a count of four. Hold it. Breathe out for a count of four, and repeat. A warm hand covered one of his, and he tried to focus on the small point of heat among the terrible cold. When he straightened again, he felt a bit more in control. He also felt empty, as though someone had reached in and hollowed out his insides. He blinked several times, prodding at the events of the last hour cautiously. Why don't I feel anything? He asked Albegard, bewildered. I should feel something, shouldn't I? The Fae's hand still rested on his. Perhaps you will tell me what transpired, beyond the obvious. Len cast around mentally, trying to organize his thoughts into something more coherent than broken sentences that made no sense. My mother, he began. She didn't recognize me. It was probably the hair, Albegard observed, and Len nearly choked on nothing. Yeah, he managed. Yeah, all right, I guess it could have been the hair. My dad apologized to me. You spoke to him, Albegard said, as though to confirm it. He nodded. Kind of. He apologized and said kicking me out was a mistake. And I agreed that, yeah, it was definitely a shitty thing to do to a kid. Then he said he just wanted me to know he was sorry, and he fell asleep. Or, well, I guess maybe he decided then that it was okay for him to die at that point, because he flatlined a couple of minutes later. Perhaps he had accomplished what he felt he needed to do, Albegard suggested. Len rubbed at his upper arm with his free hand, trying to get his blood flowing properly. Right, because saying, whoops, sorry I ruined your life at the age of 16, totally makes up for 12 years of complete and utter neglect. It does not, Albegard said in an even tone. However, believing it would is consistent with the thinking of a short-sighted and self-absorbed man. He hesitated. However, I feel I must add that your life was not ruined. I've no doubt that it was made more difficult, exponentially so. But you overcame all of it, and became the person you are today. For which I am rather grateful. Len had to swallow a couple of times before he could speak. Right. Thanks for that. Sorry, I'm wallowing, aren't I? No apologies are necessary. Continue. What else was said? He took a deep breath, filling his lungs and letting the air flow out slowly. My mother claimed she's wanted to find me for a long time, which would be more believable if she'd, you know, made any actual effort to do so. Albegard tilted his head, considering. Not necessarily. Len swallowed again. Old hurt from his childhood beginning to bubble up properly now. She watched, without saying a word, while my father threw me out. Aren't mothers supposed to be, like, super protective of their kids? Why would she just stand there and not do anything? He could hear the plaintive tone in his own voice, the way the years seemed to slip away. Perhaps
She was too afraid of your father to act, Albegard said. Then, or during the intervening years. Len opened his mouth to say how ridiculous that suggestion was, and paused, suddenly uncertain. I don't think he beat her or anything like that, he said, even as old puzzle pieces reshuffled in the depths of his mind. Low-voiced arguments overheard through his bedroom wall in the middle of the night. Occasional shouting. Albegard lifted one elegant shoulder and let it drop. There are other means of controlling a person besides physical force. It is a theory, nothing more. He rose smoothly from his crouch and extended a hand. But that is enough for now. Come, we are going to rest for a bit. Len stared blankly at him. It's still daylight. Yes, we are resting anyway. The hand didn't move. He took it and let himself be pulled to his feet with easy, inhuman strength. 15 minutes later, he was being guided into his modest double bed, wearing a pair of pajama pants and nothing else. Albegard, also bare-chested, slid in with him. And somehow Len found himself wrapped up in the Fae's arms, his head resting against a solid shoulder. Fingers stroked over the soft bristles of shaved hair at Len's temple. Before long, he was fast asleep, despite the early hour.